They told me what you doing. I said what I'm about to do is turn the fuck up.
This is the Six Star Booty JT Energy. Open your ears and enjoy the experience. That is the Dark Match Podcast.
Hey guys, you're listening to the Dark Match Podcast, and this is your boy, the Amped Champion, Crash Jackson.
This is former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Tim Storm. On behalf of myself and Mama Storm, thank you for listening to the Dark Match Podcast.
Wonderful!
Do I have everybody's attention now?
It's good to have you back.
Oh, buddy.
In person.
Oh, man. It's been a while.
It's been since March.
Dude. Like, I know we've seen each other a couple of times. The first time we've been able to actually, like, podcast.
Yeah.
But holy crap, man.
A lot has changed since you've... Not in the basement, obviously. There's a couple burn marks down here, but...
Yeah, a little melted iron spot, you know.
Yeah, that was a fun little day. So I got like a SOS text from the wife, and she's like, I'm literally about to have a stroke. And you took a sip. I thought we were going to cheers beforehand. So Dave's asleep now. First time back, and he's
I may need a clean pair of shorts on that one.
Hold on. Let me join. Oh, God.
Dear Lord.
Beer hits so much better now.
Oh, it really does.
Oh, I have.
And let's promote it. Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA.
Yeah.
It felt like a very appropriate beer for this.
I can honestly say that I don't think I... Well, I take that back, because when we did the What's Beef three-parter... We had quite a few Broken Skull IPAs. We actually, I think all of us provided a four-pack for that. And I might have drank the majority of them that evening, along with some Johnny Walker Red and among a few other things as well. That was
I would definitely need some Broken Skull IPA to wash down garbage whiskey.
Okay. And Dave's back, ladies and gentlemen. So we have a lot to talk about. Obviously, we're going to get to a large majority of that on the back end. And I'm happy to have you back. And even with our interview that we had, you could tell very quickly that you and I... Just kind of got lost in the fact, like, hey, I'm looking to my side, and I see Dave. I haven't seen you in a while. Just look at you. I missed you, buddy. So,
missed you too, buddy.
Well, we had a very exciting interview. So before we get into our takes on what's happening in the world of wrestling, let's dive right into our interview right now. Normally, I cut the theme song a little sooner, but that song's just way too good and just hits way too hard. So, obviously, I had to let it go just a little bit longer than normal.
Yeah, because
I got lost. I really did. So, not only are you finally back in the chair, you're still adjusting, obviously.
I know.
But we're back face-to-face on an interview, which is fun because sometimes... When you were distant and we were doing the social distancing and on Zoom and things like that, I couldn't tell who was talking half the time. And Like, that's half the time we would, like, cut each other off, and it was just an absolute nightmare. But we'll see how this goes with our first interview back since March at this point. And we have a very special guest on the line. She has been highly recommended, highly requested overall, and we're happy.
And she has been on our list for a while.
She's been on our list, and at the same point, she was on our list before COVID happened. We actually went into this right before COVID kind of transpired, and then at that point, once everything shut down, it was like, maybe we'll give it a little bit of time. But luckily, she was happy to come back on. I was thinking she was going to ignore us, but on the line with us, we have none other than Zoe Sky. First and foremost, how are you doing during this entire quarantine?
Man, I am bored. I am bored. But thank you guys for having me. I definitely appreciate it. It was a discussion we had a while back, and glad we finally got together to do this.
I was shocked that you actually replied, because you could have been like, I've never talked to you. What are you talking about? Like, are you still good? Like, I've never talked to you before in my life.
No, see, I intentionally keep messages from interviewers and promoters and friends and so forth so that I can go back and remember, oh, yeah, we did have this conversation. So I did that. As soon as I saw it, I said, oh, no, I think I didn't respond to something a while ago to confirm a date to actually do this interview. But now we're good to go. We got it. We're together. We can do it.
And you're back in the U.S. I think that was exactly what had happened previously. You had traveled to Japan. You're like, look, like the time difference, there's no way we're going to record at the time that you would like to record. Let's wait until I'm back in the U.S., back back in the groove of things. And then COVID-19 happened, and it was the kibosh. I will take full responsibility for it, because we easily could have just reached back out, talked about how we're getting through with Netflix or whatnot, and that was my fault.
Doesn't mean we still can't do that.
Exactly. We're still going to do that. We're just going to do it later into quarantine at this point. But obviously, a lot of things to catch up on. A lot of questions submitted for us as well to get to know you a little bit more. So we're going to dive right in right now. First and foremost, where exactly are you from?
I'm from the Youngstown, Ohio area, so I'm in boring Ohio, you know, kind of sort of northeastern. I'm between Pittsburgh and Cleveland, so it's always fun to try and explain people where I live, but, you know, I never get into full detail. You know, obviously I don't need people to know exactly where I live, but yeah, I'm kind of in somewhat Midwest for those who are, like, you know, out of state and out of town listeners. So Midwest and in Ohio.
Go Penguins.
Yes, absolutely. Good call.
Yeah. Well, don't. You're a Viking. Well, you're a Viking.
Oh, duh. Yeah, Youngstown State.
Wow. Penguins. Wow.
No, because I remember coming upon her Twitter yesterday, and she had a bunch of Pittsburgh Penguins stuff retweeted.
Oh.
So that's what I thought you were getting
no,
at.
No, Youngstown State University.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, I was definitely thinking hockey. Yeah, oh, I don't watch college anything, so nice try, though. Nice try.
Suck it.
Oh, wow. That backfired
right
on me.
All right, suck it, Pat.
For a second, and it's already turned on Pat. You should go back to Zoom, my friend. I'm not liking this new format.
Wait,
already.
When were we ever on Zoom?
You know what I meant. It's easier than saying conference call. Conference call sounds so 1995. But
then explain to me why every time we're on it, it says in conference call with Pat.
Okay. You know what? No. You're making too much sense right now. We need to go back to where we were. So Penguins, Youngstown State University.
Shut up.
I fucked up. It's fine. But you grew up in the Youngstown area between. Now, in retrospect, like halfway between, like in trying to explain it to people, it's like 45 miles west of, like, the middle of nowhere is Youngstown State, is Youngstown, essentially.
Oh, so, yeah, no, it's absolutely in the middle of nowhere. You're right.
Yeah. Like, I
it's
actually.
Like most, yeah, it's like most things. It's you get out of Cleveland, you drive, there's a whole lot of nothing. Next thing you know, you're in Youngstown.
Yeah.
And then you drive into more nothing, and then you're in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yes. Well, there is a Football Hall of Fame between there, though.
You gotta go south, more a little more south, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, yeah, that's more Akron. That's still another 45 minutes. That's another, yeah. I'm in between all of that.
So between, like, growing up practically in the middle of nowhere, how did wrestling kind of come into the mix in your, I would assume that you grew up watching wrestling.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly when that started. Obviously, you know, when I was young enough to to watch whatever I wanted on TV. But for whatever reason, I can't remember why my mom was so into it, but she used to watch it. So my mom watched wrestling, and then myself and my brother would get into watching it with her on Monday nights and so forth. And, you know, it was all WWF back then. I never watched WCW or anything else as it came to be. But yeah, it was my mom. She always watched it. And then I found that I enjoyed it, and I never stopped watching it from there.
So you were more of a WWF person. So when you were at school, did you have like the certain cliques of friends, like these people are like NWO, these people are DX type of situation?
No, I was very to myself. I did not know many people who even liked wrestling. Oddly enough, because back then so many young kids and everybody at that point loved wrestling, but it was something that I didn't talk a lot about. And then like even through high school, like it was almost like nobody watched wrestling. So for me, it was just me, like my brother, maybe some neighbors, but not a lot of people. I still do, but back then I tend to keep to myself a lot. So for me, I got to enjoy it for me.
Like when we were in like elementary school, like everyone was wearing wrestling shirts, but heaven forbid you walk into high school with like a wrestling shirt on, especially around that time, like when we were in high school.
Wrestling, that's when things were starting to kind of go south.
Oh, it was stale. It was absolutely stale.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't the golden ages. I think there was this, and that's why there's like this resurgence now, because there needs to be competition. And I think that's what kind of transpired during that time. Like there wasn't that competition. They weren't trying harder to best the competition. They were only competition in town. And I mean, those were some pretty horrid times, which we talked about on other shows too. So you get to high school, you're kind of a loner. What was kind of that moment like when you decided, you know what, I'm going to get into this for a living?
You know, I didn't know how to go about it. I just knew that it was something that I wanted. I loved hockey when I grew up. I loved wrestling when I grew up. I loved sports in general. So for me, it was always an athlete. I enjoyed hockey. I enjoyed it. I wasn't the greatest at it, but I was good for, you know, for my age and what I could do, but it wasn't something that I saw myself pursuing. Wrestling was. I didn't know how, I didn't know why, but I knew that was something that I had to do. And when I finally found wrestling, I knew that there was nothing else I wanted to do. So it was just a matter of taking that time through the years to figure out how to go about it. And then once I figured it out, I just went and did it.
Now, did you play hockey in high school?
I did, but it was like roller hockey at like a local roller rink where it was like just random kids. Like nobody was really that good at it. It was just, if you wanted to play, you paid, you know, $30 to get a crappy made jersey and everybody just play on random teams. It was pickup hockey for, you know, a couple, like I think it was maybe like one practice per week that nobody had to go to. So it wasn't any, it was like a pickup game. You know, your summer softball league. So it was a winter hockey league. So nothing professional or semi or anything fun. But I mean, I still enjoy it. I wish I had stuck with it just to kind of get better at it. But it wasn't something that I knew that I could. I didn't think I could pursue as much as I could with wrestling.
That's one thing I have never done. In all of my years, I've never been to a roller skate rink.
I don't think I ever did either, and we had one not too far.
Well, it's like right up the street, and like when it, unfortunately, like 2 years ago, I think it was, 2-3 years ago, like it burned down. And like I just remember like Shannon like running into the room like, oh my God, like Brook Park roller rink burnt down. I'm like, I've never been there. And it was like I looked at her and said, I don't believe in Santa as like a kid or something.
I thought it turned into something else years ago.
No, it burned down.
Oh.
Yeah, like it was maybe something you and I she did all the time. Apparently.
Maybe you and I are thinking of two different spots.
Up on Brook Park? Like the
Southbrook Park off of Tiedemann?
Yeah.
Oh, then.
It burned down.
Oh.
Yeah, it burned down like 3 years ago.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was pretty tragic.
That's very ironic because the skating rink, actually the one that I played hockey at was like the first job I had. I worked at that skating rink. That skating rink actually not too far from me burnt down probably within the last year and a half or so.
It's got to be something gang related.
Nobody wants roller rinks anymore, so we just got to burn them all down.
It's like Warriors. Like it's like the Warriors. Like you have like your own like little turf wars. Like you know what? I'm not taking you. Like you're not gonna take our turf. So they just burned it down, and they got Youngstown too.
They're making their way around.
Yeah, I'm thinking foul play overall. This cannot be a coincidence. This is an inside job.
I think we need to investigate this because I'm definitely down for it. Let's do it.
I am too. conspiracy theories galore. That's one thing I've jumped down during like quarantine.
Oh, God.
Oh, God is right. Oh, my God.
Like, I feel like just, we talked about. Yeah, we did talk.
We haven't jumped down conspiracy theories or anything like that. I fell into just recently. I started watching America Book of Secrets, I think it's called, on Netflix. And it's just like all these different conspiracy theories. Like it touches on like the Freemasons and Area 51 and September 11th and everything. Like just the moon landing was one of them. I'm like, I can't watch this because I'm going to freak out. So that I'm probably going to lose some viewers here. I truly do not believe we landed on the moon.
Oh, I'm going to punch you in the dick.
Oh, my God.
We're not getting into this.
We're not going to get into it. But the conversation.
Unless Zoe
is like, yes, I want to talk about this because I agree with either Dave or Patrick, whatever it may be. But Patrick's the only one with a logical thought of why we haven't. But that's a conversation for a different day. We're not going to jump down there. We're not going to take that dramatic.
You didn't even let Zoe answer if she has any
okay.
thoughts.
Well, here we go. So, moon landing conspiracy, yes or no? Should we jump and dive right into it?
I mean, I'll listen. I know the show you're talking about. I've watched it. I don't remember that episode, so maybe I just didn't finish like the series or whatever. I don't mind watching that stuff, but I'm not very big into like listening. And like right now, the time, if you give me a conspiracy theory from something that happened 10, 15, 50 years ago, something ridiculous, I'm all for it. But something that's happening recent, I just want to kind of keep an open mind to kind of make my own judgment. I don't want to take the judgment from other people. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm fine with it. Let's go. If you guys want to go into it, let's go into it. But I'm more so going to listen in than probably chime in too much.
No, I
like to play the middle line here. I don't like to, like, side too much. I don't want to lose too many of my friends and stuff either. So, I'm playing it safe.
Well, I just lost some with mine. But, no, the episode of Book of Secrets wasn't on the moon landing or anything like that. That was just something that I jumped down a rabbit hole of, and it's like, oh my God, like really that happened? Oh my gosh, this really happened too? So, yeah, we'll go in. That's my opinion. I'm not. I've already lost too many people. That was a bad idea to bring that up. But either way, so you, gosh, I want to talk about it, but I don't. We're not going to talk about it. And Dave's just sitting back in his chair. Just I've really missed you. Like, just looking over here, and there's you. Look at you. I've missed you so much. So, high five. Oh, social distancing broken. Oh, man, we just touched. We need Purell. But, so, you're playing hockey. You decide from there, you know what, wrestling is what I truly want to do. What kind of steps did you take from there to make that a reality?
So actually, I was still in high school when I was playing that. It was just like little pickup league hockey, summer stuff. So like it like, again, it wasn't something that I knew I could pursue. Again, it was a local roller rink game. And through school, like I did all kinds of sports. When I was younger, I did baseball, basketball, soccer. I ran cross country, track. I did a little bit of everything. Like I said, it's because I knew I wanted to pursue something sports related. Whatever I was good at, I was going to find a way to make money and live off of it. So my junior year of high school, I decided I was going to listen to the military. So I joined the Army Reserves, went to basic training between my junior and senior year. And then after I graduated high school, I went to my job training, my AIT. And then, so at that point from 2005, I was, enlisted in the military, still finished high school, still finished sports and so forth. And ironically, right where you were saying up there, off at Tiedemann over in Parma is where my unit was stationed. So I used to go up there 1 week in a month, you know, and do my drills and stuff.
I know
and
exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not there anymore. The building is still there. I don't know what's going on there now, but it's no longer, an Army Reserve unit.
It is a gun range.
Oh, is that what it is?
Okay. Right across the street from where the roller rink was.
Yep. Exactly.
Right across the street, I think that's an ice rink now, or at least it was when I was going up there, because I went in there one day because I was intrigued with it. So it's an ice skating rink, a big complex over there.
Yep.
I think that's what they changed it into.
Burned down. So because it was like half and half. So okay, check to make sure that we're thinking of the same place, because I think that's where it was, but I'm not 100%. I'm 95% sure. But I know where she's talking about right there. Now.
Yeah.
I know where she's talking about. Yeah, like that's now a gun range right now. So you enlisted, you were up in Parma. Then once you got out, you just decided to go into wrestling at that point?
I found wrestling while in the military. I found out that JT was running Cleveland All-Pro up there in the Cleveland-Parma area, which happened to be 20 minutes from where my unit was. So after drill weekend, one weekend, I went over and watched the rest of his show, hung out after the show and found JT and was like, hey, I want to train. So basically because I was up there on that weekend and I knew I wanted to wrestle and it was right there. I just went over and watched I watched one match and I sat there for probably 2 or 3 hours afterwards, trying to find JT and tell him that I wanted to train to wrestle. So, I mean, I know I served the rest of my initial deal, and I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to wrestle. You know, for me, the military, what I was doing, like the training and stuff, I loved, but that unit up there, it didn't have my job, my field that I went to. My MOS was the finance, and there was no finance unit. So for me, it was just paperwork and stuff that pertained nothing to what I was doing, and it was very boring to me. I think had I been active duty, I would have enjoyed it more because I would have traveled. I would have like been doing more. But for me, there was like, okay, I'm not going to make a career out of this, at least not right now, because I'm more intrigued with wrestling. I'm more intrigued with other stuff. So I went on then, and that's what I've been doing since then, is just wrestling.
Now, I do have to ask, because I come from a finance background myself. Are you still incorporating finance in your everyday life now?
No, not at all.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I was always good with money, and it was something that like I was intrigued with. But again, it was like if I don't have something that I know, like, man, like I'm like super into this right now and forever. Like if I lose interest in it, I immediately stray away. I get very distracted and sidetracked. If I'm into it, I do it and I put all my effort into it. And it was just something that like I wasn't going to find another job with, because I just wanted to travel and I wanted to wrestle. I didn't want to sit behind a desk and do paperwork and, you know, handle money or anything to that fact. You know what I mean? So it was like there was no working at a bank for my next job, or, you know, going into like a big company and working in like a finance area. I had no interest in it from that point on.
Yeah, I worked at a bank, and I can tell you from experience, you're not missing anything. I actually just got out of the bank too, and went into another financial sector. I'm in mortgages, which it involves numbers, but I've always been good with math. It's been like the only subject other than history that I really kind of I didn't lose interest in, which is weird to say because like I have a very ADHD type personality. So I'm like on to the next thing like immediately.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like me. that's literally me to the point. So you get it.
Exactly.
Oh, and I did find out and confirmed that, yes, from this story from Cleveland.com, the U.S. Army Reserve Center on Hauserman is now Parma Armory Firearms, a combination gun range and retail firearms and equipment store.
But the roller rink.
Oh, God damn it.
That's the next one.
We knew that it was a firing range. We knew that.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, I wanted to know which roller rink burned down. So that,
all right.
We knew it was a firing range.
All right,
range.
Back to the internet.
Okay. So roller rink, skating rink, okay. And then one
pet
closed down.
Yeah.
Yeah, just Google it. Just use the power of Google.
I'm doing it.
Now, did you get your start in, for those individuals that don't know exactly the promotion that you're referring to, AIW, which
no,
is...
No.
Really?
No, JT ran Cleveland All Pro Wrestling.
Oh, duh. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, JT initially... No, it's cool, because they started right before I came to start training and stuff. AIW had like just started, right, like probably within a year or so before that. They had like they were still having like their first few shows when I was coming around.
I
knew those guys, because obviously like everybody in Cleveland all kind of knew each other, whether there was heat or not. Like everybody kind of worked with everybody in a sense. So I knew who they were, and I like went to AIW shows and like whatever, because, you know, even while I was still training, like I actually knew nothing about independent wrestling at that time. So once I found JT and I found that, I was like, oh man, like this opens up like a whole nother world for me, you know. So like I started like going to other shows and like checking stuff out, and I just got more and more intrigued. So yeah, I trained with JT initially, and then not long after I got there, JT stepped down from training. He'd still come in and out, obviously, because it was still his school and his promotion. But Johnny Gargano took over from there.
Mm. And that's what not a lot of people know, because All Pro and then also AIW and the list of promotions up around here. And that's my bad. I completely, at this point, just completely blanked on the fact that he was the head trainer and promoter there. So, yeah, I take full responsibility for that. But
it was something that it was so long ago that I have to explain to people now, because people don't realize that, obviously those who've been around the Cleveland area know Cleveland All Pro, know JT, but a lot of people coming in now don't realize, if I say Johnny Gargano, they think I trained at AIW when I didn't. So it's one of those things where I don't think it's a bad thing, but I don't want people to assume something that's incorrect, because I don't want somebody else to take a rap for something
Or they think that you trained at NXT or something like that, if they really don't know too much about independent wrestling in the Cleveland area. And
I mean, I'll take that, but I definitely did not.
All right, I found your skate rink.
Okay.
It was over right near West 130th.
Oh, okay.
Definitely off. Not the same one.
Nope, not the same one. Nope, West 130th. That would make more sense. So that one burned down. So the turf war hasn't gotten to the one over on Tiedemann.
No, not yet. What she is talking about, I think that is an ice rink right now.
More than
actually, maybe something else by looking at Google Maps. So,
who knows?
It was a pretty big complex. I think there was either two rinks or there was an ice rink, and then there was something else on the other side. Because so, yeah, it was a big complex.
Yeah, because I know to the on the south end of it now is one of the big busing companies.
I haven't been over there in a very long time.
I used to drive down that way to go to my uncle's house.
Oh, gotcha.
So
I would normally go that way, and then I realized if I just cut down she would probably know this, but and you as well, but I would cut down snow to get to
work. Go 150th of snow instead of trying to go through Lyndale.
God no.
Well, dude, sometimes it's easier for me just because I go right down 117. It turns right all into that.
No one, except for individuals that
about
have ever
17,
driven.
About 17 people know that listen to this podcast know what Lyndale is.
Well, for those that don't know, you have never experienced excitement until you've driven through Lyndale without having a camera flash at the back of your car or get pulled over.
Never had it.
I have. It was my first speeding ticket ever. 27 and a 25. It was fantastic.
Dude, I set my cruise control now to 24. Oh. And that is as low as it will let me set it.
Yeah. If you don't know about Lyndale, and obviously it sounds like Zoe does, but for those listeners that don't, Lyndale is the largest speed trap in the entire state of Ohio.
It is the largest for being about 500 feet long.
Yeah. The city is literally just I think it's six or seven houses. I think that's all that's in Lyndale. And it's a small little community kind of hidden behind railroad tracks. And their police department has the highest payroll in the entire state of Ohio.
But I think now it changed, because now I think if you get a ticket, you actually go to Parma Courts.
Really?
Yeah.
Since I had to
it's
go
been
to
a few years.
I had to go to mayor's court and stand in front of the mayor. And he's just look. You could either plead this, you go to trial, even if you are found not guilty, you're still going to have to pay court costs. So it's either you can pay the fine or you can pay the court costs, and either way,
it's been at least 5 years, if not more.
Oh, yeah. They make so much money in that city.
But I think they make a lot less, because I think they have to go through Parma.
Yeah, but at this point, geez, if you are not a true Clevelander. If you have not gotten a speeding ticket in Lyndale,
well then,
I guess you're gonna have to find a new home, buddy.
I might be.
So you start with training. From there, you kind of progress on, and just recently, you made the venture across the pond. So, kind of tell us the whole experience leading up to that point, because if those individuals don't know, jump down a rabbit hole, go and search Zoe Sky. Across YouTube. It's better than searching conspiracy theories, I'll tell you that much. But kind of tell us your trek. So you start training, you're training under JT, you move on from there to Johnny Gargano, and the rest is history at this point. But what kind of challenges did you experience leading up to your recent venture across the pond?
Yeah, it's a very slow building history. I'm still working on it, but we're getting somewhere. So a lot of people know me now as Zoe Sky, but a lot of people knew me. When I first started, for the first 10 years, I went by Angel Dust. I just didn't know what I wanted my name to be, this and that and the other. So Angel Dust became my name. It stuck. And I always hated the name. Half the time I'd go to shows and promoters would be like, oh, that's a drug reference. We need to change your name because this is a family show and we're at a school. So I got tired of having to work around the name and I just didn't like it. I finally changed it to Zoe Sky. Like I said, for the most part, anybody who knew me when I first started, even now, people still call me Angel Dust, whatever. But I go by Zoe Sky. So there is stuff out there in YouTube land and elsewhere that goes by Angel Dust. You'll find me. And a lot of times if you search Zoe Sky, a lot of Angel Dust references and stuff will come up as well just because of the name change.
So make sure you search Angel Dust Wrestling. Not Angel Dust.
Touche. Yes. Good thinking. Yeah. Good thinking. I mean, yeah, or you might might find some stuff you really don't want to learn about, but you know.
Yeah, a rabbit hole you probably don't want your kids to fall
down. Right, especially children. Oh, yeah. Boy. Hopefully we don't have too many child listeners here.
What are you talking about? Dark Match Podcast is for the effing kids.
It sure does sound like it, but we'll see what happens.
You obviously have not seen our new T-shirt.
I have not. I will send me a picture later. I'll check this out.
She's been on the show for 28 minutes. Like they shouldn't be listening to this at
cheap
all.
Plug, cheap plug. Whatamaneuver.net, right? Or is it .org?
No, it's .net.
Okay, cool.
It's not an organization. What are you talking about?
I'll find out.
You should know your own website.
Whatamaneuver.net.
There you go. Yeah, 29 minutes and she's like, I don't even think adults should listen to this, honestly.
Right, because when you said you can use whatever words you want, I do my best. I have the worst mouth ever. The F word is my favorite word, but I do my best to refrain from swearing in front of people, especially those I don't know, and especially on podcasts, just so that, you know, I at least sound somewhat professional. But, you know, I fool people the first time I talk to them, and I swear left and right, so... It is what it is.
That's probably why we don't get booked.
That's probably true. They listen and they're like, fuck
no.
These guys.
Like 5 minutes in, they're like, yeah, we're going to turn this off. Like, I know the slogans were for the effing kids, but I mean, we're apparently not for anybody. But anyway, Angel Dust Wrestler on YouTube.
Probably right before my first overseas trip, I finally got to start working with Rise and Shimmer. Rise had just started, more or less became Shimmer's, sister promotion. They kind of were helping bring unheard of young, still training and newer girls, and the girls that have experience that necessarily don't get the attention that they probably should. So they started doing this where they would bring in a well-known name, somebody who's been around for a while. The first seminar itself was Soraya Knight. So they brought Soraya Knight over. She did a training seminar all day. The next day, I think for the first one was there was a show. So they had a show for those who participated in the seminar. You know, so many. So I think there were maybe 40 of us. There was a large number of us. So just about everybody got used because they did a battle royal. But more or less, they ran a seminar and then a show, Rise did. And then it also fell the same weekend as Shimmer Weekend, which is all based in Chicago. Hopefully people know what Shimmer is, but if not, definitely check it out.
Absolutely.
So that was how I got to make my debut with Shimmer. And since got to continue working for both Rise and Shimmer. And Rise provided the opportunity for me to initially make my first trip to the U.K., in 2016, I believe. And then, maybe in 2017, but whatever it was, it was fairly recently, right before Japan. And then I made my first trip to Japan, just about 2 years ago now. So 2018. And then of course the one we've been talking about was this previous trip to Japan, the second tour. The first tour was, for me, 5 weeks. And then this past one was about 2 months. I can just say I enjoy Japan. I love Japanese wrestling. I enjoy the culture, the people. Maybe not the food so much, but I definitely just enjoy the trip in general. Like the wrestling and everything was just very needed and wholesome for me.
Now, coming from obviously training in the U.S., performing in the U.S., going to whether it be the U.K. and Japan, The fans over there are completely, I can honestly say they're completely polar opposite, whereas UK fans are known for being very cutthroat, very loud, very energetic, and very energized. And Japan, and I might be wrong in this, only from what I've seen, they more look at it as theater. They'll react at the end. They're not as vocal. I guess you could say they just sit and just take it in overall, as opposed to just getting into it. Now, I might be wrong in that, but what did you kind of experience between the two cultures of growing up, training in the U.S., being with U.S. fans, and then going to places like the U.K. and Japan and being in front of those crowds? What were those experiences like?
No, I completely agree with the way you described it. Like, that was like exactly how like I felt it was. Going to the U.K., like, it was just kind of like nothing. It was almost like nothing different than what we did here. You know what I mean? It felt very, very easy to transition into, very easy to kind of just to get go right through and just do what we do. Japan was absolutely completely different. A bit nerve-wracking, and initially it made me feel as though I just didn't belong. It made me kind of second guess what I was doing and what I thought I was doing right and so forth, and any positivity and like good thoughts that I felt like I was doing for myself, my career, I felt was like the complete opposite. And just because, like you said, like that reaction, training was completely different than training here. In Japan, that is, you know, because I had time to, I actually stayed and trained in Japan. The UK, we did not. We just went over for two or three shows and then we came back. So Japan, the first trip, there was supposed to be like six of us from the U.S. going. By the time the trip actually happened, there ended up being, oh no, there's supposed to be like, I think eight of us, maybe seven or eight of us. And by the time it happened, there ended up being four of us, and everybody left at different times. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and then of course, while I was there, when we first got there, Viper from the UK, from Scotland, she was there. And then she left as well. So at one point, I think I spent the last almost 3 weeks, in Japan, alone. Minus,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Minus going to like training and the shows and stuff. We had an apartment that we stayed in, the foreigners we did, and I was there completely alone.
Oh my gosh.
It was like the best and worst thing ever. I was very bored. I did not know. Thankfully, like, Viper had been there multiple times, so she kind of showed us around, showed us how things worked, and just like, you know, kind of got us as comfortable as we could for us coming in for our first time. But again, that was for 2 weeks that I had somebody to kind of walk me by the hand and show me how things worked. So, you know, I knew how to get to training. I knew how to get to places where I needed to be when the time came, you know, because obviously we're there for work, we're there for business. So where I needed to be, when I needed to be there, I was able to get to, well enough on my own. Thankfully, like, there was a way to communicate with the Japanese girls. They all work, a bit on their English. Their English really isn't the worst. You can catch what they're saying when they take their time and we try to communicate. So thankfully with that, it was very difficult, but it was not as difficult as I initially thought it was going to be. And then of course, using apps on our phones and stuff, we could communicate. So I was able to speak with the girls and make sure I was where I needed to be, when I needed to be there and so forth. So, but otherwise, like, I'm a bit of a loner. So for me, being there by myself was quite nice. I came and go freely when I had the chance. I got to just wander around, you know, the town and just kind of figure things out and just enjoy myself, you know? So like, in that sense, it was kind of nice. The second trip, because that happened the first time, the second trip was just much more enjoyable. You know, I knew where to go for things that I wanted. I knew if there was something I didn't get to do the first time, I knew what I wanted to do this time. And then of course it was nice because I had roommates the whole time I was there, you know? So I had company, I had people still training, still wrestling, but just people who spoke English who I could hang out with and, you know, get along with. So it was a good trip.
Yeah, and a complete polar opposite of the first time, obviously, being by yourself. And even if you are a loner, there are times where you kind of, you just want that interaction. You want someone to bounce an idea off of or even look at and say, hey, well, we don't have to be there until X amount of time. Is there something you want to do tonight? And you're talking to a wall the first time.
So. right. You're wondering to yourself and wondering if you should even. I guess I kind of went a little bit off track, but
no.
But again, like you were saying, though, about like the crowds and stuff. Again, UK, pretty easy, pretty good, pretty easy to deal with. I couldn't complain. The first match I had in Japan for Stardom, I was super nervous, super worried. I was taking and doing new things in the ring that I wasn't used to, because I was always used to being the smallest person. For me, being 5 foot, 110 pounds at the most, being of average size and maybe even a little bit big, was weird. So for me, these girls just did what I did. So instead of me, you know, wrestling somebody who's just going to throw me around and who I get to fly around on, I'm the one being flown around on, if that makes sense. So like, it was just weird, you know. It was very nerve-wracking because I didn't want to, you know, mess anything up, hurt myself, hurt them, especially them. I didn't want to look bad my first time I was there, my first match. I wrestled my Izumi, my very first match there. And actually the second tour, my very last match was with Izumi as well.
Oh, wow.
And I love her to death. I will wrestle her forever if I had the chance to. I believe at that time she was 15, but she had been wrestling for some 7 years or something. So, you know, she's been wrestling damn near as long as I am, and she's only, I think, 17 years old now. Maybe, I think she may have just turned 18. She's very, very talented. I hope she gets to do more than just Stardom, because she deserves to be seen elsewhere. I'm glad that Stardom gives her the opportunities she gets, but like, she's a very sweet girl, very deserving. She eats, breathes, sleeps wrestling. And it's great to see that in people. But even then, like, knowing that crowd knew her and knew of what was going on, they kind of understood the fact that the group of us that had come over from the US, it was kind of us almost doing like an invasion angle, where we were coming in as the outsiders to invade Stardom. So, you know, we each had, like, I think singles matches or maybe a tag match where it was us, each one of us against the Japanese girl. Obviously, I don't even know, it may have been like a tag team of two of us or whatever. You know, none of us tagged with any of the Japanese girls, any of the Stardom girls or anything. So it was kind of looked at as like a bit of an invasion kind of storyline. But thankfully, I think with the fact that they kind of knew her, they gave me no reaction, none whatsoever, you know, and not knowing how I can make a smart ass comment here or there and kind of get a chuckle from a crowd or get a reaction when I need it, I can get it. But knowing that they don't understand a single damn thing I'm saying, that is kind of defeating the purpose. And it almost makes you sit back and go, am I ready for this? You know, and just that crowd interaction, not even the wrestling, just the crowd interaction. But thankfully, you know, the match, I don't even think that match was more than 5 minutes. It was I think it was a high speed match. So it was a very fast paced match, very quick. I think we were first or second on the card. We were very early on in the show. So it just hurry up, get in, get out kind of thing. And I felt like while I was unsure of a lot going on, even though like I'm sure I lost that match, but like just knowing that I got through the match and then realizing through the rest of the show, the crowd kind of interacts in the way that they did with me, with everybody, kind of made me settle a little bit better and think that this trip was going to be worth it. And that's it. You know, they sit back and they do see it. They see it as they almost a respect thing. They sit and they watch you. And then when you give them when they realize that there's a break in an action or a pin or something, it's the pause in the sequence of moves or the sequence that's going on. That's where they pause and they give you their applaud, their approval, what they like, what they don't like, you know, boo the good guy, you know, or boo the bad guy, yay the baby face, or whatever the case may be. That's where they interact. So it was very difficult to figure that out. At the same time, it was easy. Once you figured it out, it was kind of like, okay, we know what they want, just like we know what they want here in the States. So it's just a matter of finding a way to get that reaction at the time you wanted it.
Yeah, whereas like here, you have the fans that just cheer nonstop. They cheer whether it be a big move or to show respect. They don't interrupt the match or yell during the match or anything like that. They sit back and it's very much like a play. It's kind of like after someone sings like a solo or something like that, everyone kind of cheers after that. But while they're doing it, it's silent. When that moment breaks, when that sequence in the match breaks, that's when they show respect and let you know how they enjoyed it. And I remember my first exposure to Japan. It's like, these guys are doing amazing. Like, why isn't the crowd into it? And that was my first overall reaction, because I just didn't understand the crowd and the way that they view things. So, obviously, going in there, it can be nerve-wracking, because coming from, oh, I'm used to a crowd that reacts, I'm used to building off of a crowd, and here I am, I'm not getting anything from these people, and I'm sure it definitely makes you second guess, like, am I, like, what am I doing wrong, or am I doing this, whatever, maybe do they not like me, and geez, I can't even imagine what was going through your head.
And that was a lot of it, but like you said, like, once you kind of realize that's how they interact, it's a bit of, like, now I'm working for their approval. You know, I'm excited to get that reaction when the time comes. I know that this is what I'm going to do, so hopefully the reaction that normally comes while I'm doing it, it comes after just as I would expect. So it's weird, but it's, at the same time, I almost enjoyed it more, because that's how you knew that they were into it and enjoyed it, because they paid that much attention for the whole bit of sequence of whatever it was we did, to then give us, to generate a reaction to what we did. So it was almost more rewarding in a way than the way we interact here in the States.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, they do more clapping than they do of, like, cheering woos and things like that. They clap, yes, after sequences, correct?
Yes. Yeah. There's not as much. There's more oohs and ahs, as weird as that sounds, but it literally is like, ooh, when they get, like, a, you know, fun little spots. But otherwise, it's very much just clapping. They really only, like, I've noticed, like, certain girls will get an audio response to stuff, whether they jaw jack with the crowd and they get a response, but it's nothing drug on. Like, fans don't bicker back and forth with the wrestler. If somebody says something, somebody in the crowd may only say, like, a probably nothing more than maybe a couple of words, not even a full sentence, in reaction to what that particular wrestler, you know, interacted with them with. They would never sit there and just bicker and just be somebody. They don't want the attention on them. They're in the crowd. They're giving the attention to that wrestler. They give the attention and then they leave it alone, so that they got their reaction. They got what they wanted. I was a part of the show in that sense, but I'm not the show. They are.
Exactly. And obviously someone that's used to and kind of generates their business off of jaw jacking with the crowd and just kind of plays off of their reactions and things like that, that's obviously a great place to go. And I'm sure that's why a large majority of wrestlers gravitate to there, because it does teach you to kind of, I guess you could say, kind of mold your character in a sense, and teach you, okay, well, how can I do it? Not necessarily through words, but how can I do it through my actions?
And how
can I get a reaction from them without actually looking at them and saying something? How can I do it physically to where I know I'm going to get the same reaction as if I looked at them and said, like, are you not entertained, or who sucks now, whatever it may be? So kind of going back to your previous statement, the first time you were in Japan, you were by yourself 2-3 weeks alone in an apartment or a studio, whatever it may be. What, and kind of going towards quarantine as well, what do you kind of do to find time to kind of occupy your time? That is a horrible choice of words there for myself, but well, what do you find yourself doing to occupy your time and kind of help pass the time overall?
At that first time, it was hard. I avoided being too lazy and just too to myself, but it was hard not to be. The time difference helped in a sense, I guess, to keep me occupied, because there was a 12-hour time difference. So here, or it was, I think it was 14-hour time difference. So while it's getting late and it's, you know, late here in the evening, it's morning, early morning for them. Sun's just coming up. So for me, when I would be getting ready for bed, my fiance, my family, you know, people back home would just be getting up. We'll just be getting up. So, like, we'd have interaction time. Like, me and my fiance would talk in the mornings when I got up, and then in the mornings when he got up. So the night for me. So we kind of had, like, a time to where I could talk to family, friends, and so forth, that kind of almost staggered into part of my day. Training took up a good amount of my time on the days we had training. The first time I was there, it was a very, very extremely hot summer. like one of like the hottest summers they've had in a long, long time in Japan. So the building that we trained in did not have air conditioning. They had a big fan. It was basically just like a you know, very small, confined, and there were, what, 20, probably a solid 20 of us training when we were there. So it was just a ton of bodies everywhere, and it was just, it was hot. So we didn't train quite as often as they typically did, but it still would be multiple times during the week, plus shows on weekends, travel, and so forth. So with training, shows, and travel, it did take up a fairly decent amount of my time, but normally my free time, like I said, I'm much a wanderer. As much as I am a loner, I like to just go out and walk. So I just walked the city. I didn't know the train station and how it worked as well the first time around. So I would just kind of, I had my few landmarks and I would head that direction. And then, you know, once I got so far, I would just hit another street that I'd never been down. And I would just kind of wander blocks at a time and just kind of get a feel of like what was around. And I'd wander into random shops just to see what was going on and just, you know, see what life was like, you know. So for me, it was just, that's how I wasted time the first time. You know, I was bored, I was alone, so I just wandered. Second time was pretty similar. I definitely wandered a lot more. I was more comfortable wandering with the trains and just everything going on. Like, I would just up and go. The roommates, I was just like, all right, guys, like, if you don't see me, I'm gone. You know, don't worry about me for anything. And then I also got a gym membership the second time I was there, this previous time. So I was at the gym twice a day, every day. So I kept busy.
Yeah. It, you say that you kind of wandered around. Were you just kind of venturing around to see where you could go? Or was there anything in particular that you were trying to discover?
So the one time I just happened to wander into an area where there was a shrine, so I got to go, and I didn't wander too much just because I didn't know what the etiquette was. I didn't know how things were, if I could just walk through the areas and like up to like certain things. Obviously, I couldn't read anything because I can't read Japanese, so I couldn't read any warnings of, hey, don't touch this or don't go here. So I would check out shrines, and I would just go check out local parks. Sky Tree was there, which is I believe the world's tallest viewing tower. We went in, like, there's like a mall down there, and then there's like a, you can go up in the top and you can see, you know, oversee the city and stuff. The second time, like, the Tokyo Dome wasn't very far, so went to Tokyo Dome and checked out stuff there. Just went to different cities and different area, you know, a whole part of the Tokyo area, just like outside the main part of Tokyo, and just check stuff out. You know, like I said, random shops at the side of the street, you know, and just kind of parks, whatever it was, I just wandered and found.
Obviously, being back in the U.S. under quarantine with everything going on with COVID-19, what do you find yourself doing now to occupy your time? And I don't know if you're still in Ohio or not, but obviously, Ohio, we don't know when wrestling is going to return, if it even does at this point. But what do you find yourself doing to occupy your time now to get through this whole COVID-19 dilemma?
And now, not much of anything. I'm very boring. You know, my family is all close to me. I am still in Ohio. My family is close, so I often go just to visit my mom and my brother and so forth. So, you know, like, visiting and staying with family is always nice. I did have to pick up a regular person job to make money because I'm not wrestling at all right now. My first show, actually, since I came home from Japan, and I had one show the first weekend of March when I came, or the second weekend of March when I came home, and then everything got canceled from there. This weekend coming up, it happens to be the first show that I have since then. Thankfully, it hasn't been canceled. It did get moved to being an outside show. It's in New Jersey, the Stan Styles Bonanza. I'm not sure if you guys heard or saw, but so actually that was the first show I had when I came back. And he's running again this weekend, so thankfully it's not canceled, so I do have another show. But other than that, yeah, I don't see wrestling coming back, at least not in Ohio, through the rest of the year. I'm hoping I'm wrong. And even then, like, I wasn't in Ohio that often to where, at least if it's, you know, I can travel elsewhere, like, I'm fine with it. I'm ready to travel. I'm ready to go. I'll take precautions for myself, you know, and so forth. I'm not worried about what's going on to the extent that I will not take bookings. But it's just, you know, it's hard. It's boring. I was literally living off of wrestling and enjoying traveling and stuff, that this complete change just kind of, it feels like a big setback. You know, I know it's not just for me, it's for everybody, you know. But at the same time, it kind of gives me a chance to refocus on myself, figure out where I want to be when things come back, and you know, put myself in a position where I'm back to living off wrestling. I'm able to make a bigger and better name for myself and just be able to travel more, man. I really do enjoy traveling. So like, that's a big goal when things get back up and running again.
Yeah. And especially being from a position where for years and years and years and years, you're on the road here, your calendar is booked, and heaven forbid you have like a family party or someone's getting married. Oh, let me check my schedule and see if I can even go. To now, hey, you're going to be at home. You don't know when you're going to work again. It can obviously be a change when your body and your mind are so accustomed to go, 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 go. And now it's sit down, relax. We'll get back to you in due time. And geez, when this first started, we thought it was going to be 4 weeks, and
right,
it's almost September.
That's
and
true.
We have no idea when this is, when things are going to be quote unquote back to normal. But
right.
There's a lot of promotions that have, unfortunately, a few that I can even think of that were trying to run indoor shows, and then we're told, nope, you can't do indoor shows. And some have taken it to drive-ins. Some have taken it to baseball parks. Some have even done piers, and they've been very successful with it. And it's just surprising that, for example, you have Indiana and you have Pennsylvania. Both states are running shows, but Ohio is not. There's no foreseeable future in professional
sport.
But
if you go back to like how Ohio was at the beginning of all this, they were very cautious. They were trying to get ahead of everything. So now they're still trying. It's like they try to open things back up, but they're still trying to be cautious enough with it, which is why even like, you know, as we talk today, that they said even like high school football, like in high school sports, if you want to go in the fall, you can, but spectators are only to family and people close to family. They're not letting in like any random person
like
or
students.
Even students.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
So even stuff like that, it's okay, we're going to let some people in and do this, but we're going to still be very cautious about it, which, you know, yes, it sucks, and it sucks that it's still affecting a lot of people like Zoe and others, but I guess for Ohio, I'd rather be overly cautious than under cautious. Like, let's say Florida, but like places like
Florida
that,
yeah. Doesn't even think it's real, apparently.
But that's what I'm. But yeah. No, but not going to get into that discussion. But you you know what I mean.
No,
that,
I completely
that
understand.
I would rather be overcautious. Where maybe by let's say you know we're after the first of the year in some time, because I do think you know vaccine has to come around and blah 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 blah. I'm not getting into it, but I think it's going to be something like that. Then they'll let things happen. You'll get back to some kind of normalcy, and then we can hit the ground running. We can start going to shows again. We can start going to concerts, games, mm-hmm. be around people, hug people, you know, high five people, like all that, all the normal bullshit that we all took for granted that like people are missing now.
Well, yeah, like I'm missing concerts and outdoor. Even going to Blossom, a large majority of our summers were spent going to Blossom.
Dude, between sporting events, concerts,
yeah,
wrestling,
baseball,
dude,
wrestling
who knows
events?
How many wrestling events we would have been to this summer?
Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah,
quite a few. But even being overly cautious, there's still ways that you could potentially do it with being.
But I think
cautious.
But I think yes, where it is some for the patrons, they also don't want to become a huge liability to.
Understandable. Yeah.
So
you don't want to put yourself in
yeah,
that position
because you know Zoe goes a lot of places. You have other people who aren't just like with one promotion. It's people travel. Unless you're going to sit there and be paying for tons of tests. And tracing of like
well,
and keeping
so
track of where the hell
like,
everyone's been.
There's so many that like you can't even get through the door if you within the last 24 to 48 hours you have a negative test result. So there's a large majority of promotions in other states where that is a requirement for you to compete is to have a negative COVID test within the last 48 hours. So
I think Pennsylvania is like that. It's like inside shows. I think it's like the last like 72 hours. Like it's like a requirement for everybody on the show. That's why I was kind of unsure of how like it was working there, because I know that some places are doing outside shows So I'm assuming that it only pertains to like indoor shows where they, you know, because you're a lot more confined than being outside and being able to keep more space. But yeah, I've heard all that same stuff too.
Yeah, and it's gotta be challenging, especially for people that, like you even stated, you went out and you had to get like a 9-to-5 type job when your life for the last X amount of years has been wrestling nonstop, and
right.
Now you have to adjust your whole schedule, your whole mindset, and kind of get yourself into a new rhythm of things where your weekends were devoted to, okay, I'm leaving on Friday or Thursday. I'm leaving at 3. I have to be here by 10 and go on from there. And now,
you know, for as stressful as those weekends were, we miss them for sure.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Like we're venturing down and it doesn't even seem real yet. In 2 weeks, we're heading down to IWC for feature presentation. It's something that we used to do at least once a month. We haven't done since, what, the last show we went to?
It was December.
Yeah, December of last year.
Wow. Yeah, we had the one planned there for the middle of March.
Yep. And then that got
canceled.
Well, it didn't get canceled. They still ran it, but because of everything that was happening, Ohio, they suggested no state-to-state travel.
Right, right.
So they shut everything down. So we were planning on going to that show. He still ran it. That's when Justin made that speech, like, hey, I appreciate you all being here. They gave me a free out.
Oh, I wasn't talking that one.
I thought that's what you were referring to.
GCW.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. GCW. Yep. Well, still with ICW, too. Well, not IWC.
God damn it, Ben.
There's so many abbreviations, man. They're everywhere.
You finally were getting...
I really think... A lot of the issue now, too, as well. A lot of these places and these people can run events outside, and not just wrestling, but other occurrences. We can do outside events and stuff as long as people are separated and so forth. A lot of stuff comes to is if you can't make the money to make it worth it, then what's the point as well? You know, so everybody's just kind of taking the reasoning of, well, why am I going to waste money on this, and the other when half of that is going to come in or less, you know? So it's a lot of people just realize that it's not worth it, you know, especially again, these places that have to do these testings and so forth, these promoters or these buildings and these, whatever the situation may be, the people involved aren't going to pay for each person in that building to get a test. They aren't going to pay for each person on top of it for whatever they need to come in and so forth and pay for the venue and, you know, and so forth. So it's just, it's not overall worth the time and the stress of running a show or running an event of any sort when you can't get that money back. And too many people are playing that, well, I don't want to travel because of what's going on, while at the same time, just as many people are saying, well, I will go do that, but it's still not going to make it worth it for everybody involved.
Understandable. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've kind of held back, and there was a lot of back and forth with us even just going to the show. As opposed to, hey, it's available, let's go. It was, okay, well, do we feel comfortable to go? And I'm sure,
right.
Ourselves, we're healthy. We're not in the best of shape, but we're in good health. And you have individuals that have been going to these promotions for years and years and years. And now they're weighing that excitement with, this could potentially mean exposure. It could mean this. It could mean that. So, yeah, they're definitely taking a huge hit, and it's definitely a huge gamble. And kudos to every promotion that's willing to do it. But they're definitely taking a huge risk doing it, not only from the financial aspect, but even potentially the health aspect of their fans and also their participants. Because who knows where that performer was the night before? Who knows who they were around? Who they faced, and geez, it's so much to think about.
It is.
Yeah. So, or even who they interacted with at the table to sign a picture for. You never know at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, you really don't. And unless, and even if they have a negative test, who were they exposed to last night? It's definitely a gamble. And
right.
I think we're all just ready to get back to normalcy and get back to the life that I feel a large majority of us took for granted. But we don't want to take too much more of your time. So obviously, if you do want to follow along, you want to find out where you can find Zoe, you can find her all across social media. All of her pages are tagged in all of our posts. also in the description of this podcast as well. You can find her on YouTube. Remember, you want to search Angel Dust Wrestler. Angel Dust Wrestler.
If God
you
only knows what you're going to find.
I mean, tag us in.
You know what? Let, to save sake, just look up Zoe Sky. I'm sure it'll still, yes. Angel Dust stuff will pop up. So just let's just play it safe, especially for any possible children listening.
All the kids. All the children.
It's all the children.
All the children that are listening. So, Zoe, we truly appreciate your time. Hopefully, we see you here in Ohio once shows pop back up. Whenever that may be, but who knows? Maybe we'll see you in IWC. Hey, said it right that time. Go. Maybe we'll
work
see
on it. Let's hope so.
Yeah, let's definitely work on it and hope for the best at this point, and hopefully it doesn't last too much longer for everybody. But we thank you for your time once again.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And let's do it again sometime. I appreciate it for sure.
Welcome to Thunderdome, bitch.
Okay, so this was. I know. I was trying to think of something appropriate here.
Oh, gotcha.
I should have probably written down all of my thoughts.
Okay.
Because I was going to try to turn this into like a really dumb promo.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, man.
This is something that almost, you could almost put like ESPN 30 for 30 behind.
Okay. But we have Thunderdome.
But that's what I know. That's what I was going to get into. It's like it's one of these of like, what if I told you, in a world of no fans, no stadiums, nothing, that we had to have a bubble, that we had to put screens in the stands, where you can video in, and have your pixelated face in the arena.
In high definition.
In high definition.
It's like you're there, but you're not.
And you get to sit there and cheer. Yay. By yourself and hope that other people watching know what you're cheering and talking about. This is Thunderdome.
Oh, my God. You really just got a promo for it. Like, obviously, like, the news came out that they're moving from the Performance Center to the Amway Center, and
good for them, like, that they can, that somebody is willing to take their, like, $400,000 or whatever a month or whatever the fuck they're paying for it to say, hey, we're going to have live wrestling. We're going to sit here and have a full-blown show with video boards and no one else.
Well, because, to be honest, like it's great advertising for the Amway Center, which I've been to the Amway Center. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous arena, first and foremost. It is absolutely gorgeous. Like, I love that arena.
I'm not saying it's not, but it's just, I'm sorry, the idea of the Thunderdome is fucking stupid.
Well, the name.
The fact that you're calling the Thunderdome. No, if you want to call it the Thunderdome or have a fucking event called like the Thunderdome, which to me
means... Say Thunderdome one more time.
Thunderdome.
Thank you.
That it's...
Oh my God.
That you sit there. I honestly think if I was at home, it would not have sounded as good.
No. I could just imagine you sitting on the couch like writing this promo like Thunderdome.
I've actually been thinking about it for about 3 days. Once they announced Thunderdome, I'm like, how am I just going to rip this to shreds?
Yeah, well, Dave just likes to watch the world burn.
I really do. But it's like, what are you going to get out of it? Like, I understand you want to have this feeling of fans in the arena, but it's, I'm sorry. It's
got to be the
think
same.
About the NBA. Think about the NBA. They're kind of doing something like that, but they can't fucking hear the people. They see video boards. I don't think they see the people. I could be wrong on that. I don't know. Because I know for like one of the first Laker games or a Laker, maybe it was the first Laker playoff game or something, that they had a bunch of kids from LeBron's I Promise school.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he could actually see them or not. I haven't watched the NBA bubble bullshit to know if they could.
But that's what they're getting at. It looks like you can, but obviously it could just be blue, like green screens around, well, and they just, yeah, put the videos on there.
It could be that.
It could be, but like all I've watched from,
because you're gonna,
is no sound. So I'm watching it at work. It's on one of the TVs at work, yeah, and like we don't have any sound on it because, I mean, we have enough distractions at work. We just bought a putting green, and we have putt-putt contests.
Yep, you're definitely back in finance.
I know, right? Like, and I've gotten pretty good at it, too. Like, I actually won a Firestone Country Club golf shirt today. Nice. It's like a FootJoy, like, is the brand of
nice.
It.
Nice, yeah.
Oh, it's so nice. FootJoy is
a good brand.
Remind me. I'll go grab it. It's upstairs. Sweet. But, yeah, like, I won a putt-putt contest today, so... Everyone calls me Phil there because I'm left-handed, so everyone calls me Mickelson. But like from the little bit I saw, like it's a good concept. I just don't know if they can see.
And I don't know how it's gonna cross over into wrestling. Especially, it's like you know how much you're gonna have to vet, or you're gonna have to be on constant watch of these people. NBA is probably not as bad, but I feel like wrestling, I would be that asshole. Would sit there and do it and just start like, someone's having sex on that video.
Oh my God. You've run way too into this right now.
I really did. But I would be that, like, if I can think of that, there's somebody else who's going to do it.
But there has to be someone that's there monitoring all the live feeds.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And heaven forbid, like, something probably like that, like, does
you're gonna,
happen.
And it's probably like, obviously, you're going to only have X amount of people, and especially for like a Raw, a SmackDown, like all these, I think you're going to be rotating people in and out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can sit there and say, hey, you're going to be on it. You're going to be here for the whole 3 hours. You know, A, that. B, because, you know, WWE is a money hungry asshole. Are they going to make you pay for it?
Mm hmm.
Is it
they're going to make you pay for it.
Is it going to be somewhere where it's like you pay for time? It's like, hey, you can pay to be, you know, you'll have it. You could do 30 minute blocks. Essentially,
I think it's you pay per segment, if memory serves me correctly. Because
that's great.
And from what I've seen from like the NBA, like there was this one guy, he did like a YouTube video where he was at like four different games in the bubble, and he like paid for like all these different slots.
Yeah,
but I don't know if they charge, because they never said if they charge for the NBA.
I have no idea.
I can only imagine that they charge for WWE. Let's just face it. They more than likely they do. But here's my question: It's the Thunderdome.
Thunderdome.
Like, is it going to go over the top as well? Like someone's getting pinned, or they're laying down on the ground, and there's just this kid just staring at them, like from the ceiling, just like
in his John Cena gear. I don't know why. Apparently, they're going to put some weird ass ceiling or root or something above it. Yeah, I just don't know what. Well, yeah, you can't call it Thunderdome and have it just be the wide open goddamn arena.
I understand.
See, to me, like in a weird sense, like how you have war games, you had the giant cage. To me, that's something like something that you could easily call like Thunderdome. Like, I understand you have the two rings and whatnot, but it's because it's all encapsulated in a cage.
Yeah,
that's like something like that. Like, fuck, Hell in a Cell. If they could have easily called it Thunderdome at one point, and it would have, and we'd be talking about like 20 years of the Thunderdome, not 20 years of Hell in a Cell or whatever. Well, yeah. I know it's longer than that, 25-ish, but still.
Granted, yeah.
Granted.
Yeah, and War Games has been around a lot longer.
Even longer than that, but I'm just saying, like, you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, I completely understand.
Like, see now, even Raw Underground, you could have easily called, like, fucking Thunderdome.
But here's the thing, though, like, with Raw Underground, it actually has me extremely intrigued.
I still haven't watched a ton of it, but it's like, it still just seems super hokey to me. Well, I haven't watched a ton of it, and I probably got to go back to watch. I flipped it on for a couple minutes yesterday, I believe,
mm-hmm.
where then they apparently Shayna Baszler's back now, and the segment they were cutting away to commercial, and she had the other two from her like mini stable, Duke and Shafir,
yeah.
That it's like, okay. And didn't they fight, I think, on it yesterday?
They did.
Or I saw something.
And what? And Shafir had a hell of a performance. She went up against... they really don't announce like anyone's name there.
Did she go up against Brandi Lauren?
Yeah. So she went up against Brandi Lauren.
I saw her.
It was a funny post, too. She's like, my Monday sucked.
I know. I saw a couple things where, like, she posted on her story. It's like of other people who were like on Instagram and tagged her. I'm like, oh, she was there.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, I know, you know, obviously you have, like, we've talked to many other people who've been, like, well, enhancement talent for a night.
Yeah.
It's like, is that what this is going to happen here? Or wasn't, I know we had this discussion a while ago, or you mentioned it to me. Wasn't she with a certain person who just got signed to NXT from Evolve at one point? Wasn't she with Anthony Green?
Who?
Brandi Lauren.
No.
Who am I thinking?
I have no idea who you're thinking. Well, yeah, in Evolve, she was with Anthony Green. Yes. Yeah. She was with him in Evolve, yes.
Yes.
I thought you meant, like, in real life.
No. Yeah. I know who she's currently with there.
Yeah.
No, but she was paired with him in Evolve. Wasn't it even before Evolve, or was it when he went to Evolve?
That I'm not 100% certain.
But still,
yeah.
Could this be, it's like, okay, I know they announced him. Maybe they didn't announce her. Maybe she's not going.
And that I'm not 100% certain.
But maybe this was, maybe this could be a thing of, hey, you're working for us. We really need to throw somebody in here. You know, go do this.
It, only time will tell, because you have to look at it from one of the angles that's absolutely just aggravating everyone across social media. The only segment I really watched yesterday, I really wanted to watch the Raw Underground because there was a rumor that Dolph Ziggler was going to be on it. And obviously,
was he or was he not yet?
He was yesterday. Oh, he was. Okay. That was the only segment I watched. It was him versus Ray Rowe, and it was or whatever his name is now. I'll always call him Ray Rowe,
or is he Ivar?
I honestly cannot tell you. I don't know, but
I think he's Eric.
I would love to see these guys with with the amateur wrestling background go into Raw Underground. Because watching Rowe and Ziggler last night was extremely entertaining. And you put, just to throw a name out there, you throw Chad Gable in there? Yeah, exactly. That's what has me.
What sucks, though, is he's over on SmackDown, isn't he?
Why? At this point, you have people from NXT competing in there.
That's true. There is that big motherfucker.
Yeah.
What was it, Dabakato or whatever his name is?
You're talking about Dijakovic?
No.
Oh.
Dabakato.
Oh, Dabakato.
He is a big motherfucker.
Yeah, you have like people in NXT that are performing there, so why can't people from SmackDown show up and compete on Raw Underground?
Very, very good point. I wonder what
they're all in the same building.
I wonder what the point, like, I'm still curious. I think we started talking about this once. What is going to be the point of this? Is this just a, hey, let's, you know, I know we talked about let's throw things on the wall and see what sticks.
Well, but is there going to be a real? If you miss something from Friday night, did you see the rating for Friday Night SmackDown?
Is that where What's Their Faces, was it Retribution or whatever the fuck they're called, they're running through?
No. I'm talking about the TV rating.
No, but still, no, I understand that. But aren't they only on SmackDown?
They're on both shows. Retribution? That angle is starting to piss me off, first off. Because either get to the payoff now.
I think SmackDown is going to be, or not SmackDown, SummerSlam is going to be the big reveal.
I hope so, because I'm getting sick like of watching
it's
it.
Same thing. It's super hokey.
It is. It's extremely hokey. Unless there's an absolute, utter, like, dramatic payoff of holy shit, like these people are like. Otherwise, I don't care.
Because like they said, these better be fucking, like, there better be somebody credible leading this shit.
Yeah.
I've heard rumors that it could be, that honestly, this could be a Shane McMahon brainchild-like thing. That it's like, yeah, he's doing Raw Underground, but he's also doing this. I've heard somehow Stephanie could be involved. I actually heard one of the top guys in there could be actually Dijakovic.
Which I would love.
But things that I've read, and I fully agree, you have to have somebody
credible.
Because if this is just if this is another thing of like, oh, we're a bunch of people who just don't get our chance, or we're a bunch of NXT people trying to, you know, make our stamp on things, it's not going to fucking work.
No, it's not at all.
This is not a thing that's going to work. Like where the Shield came up from NXT and beat that, you know, well, fuck, I don't even remember. Well, that wasn't SummerSlam, was it? Whenever the fuck they showed up. Survivor Series?
No, one of those. I think it was SummerSlam.
I think it was a SummerSlam. But when they first showed up, I think
took out Ryback.
Yeah, when they came in, they did something meaningful where it's, hey, we're going to go and vandalize stuff and we're going to tear down a ring and we're going to throw cinder blocks through windows and
spray. And we have a chainsaw.
And hey, we're blowing up a generator.
Yeah.
Okay. I am not excited for that. Like,
there's been nothing exciting since it's just been more aggravating than anything.
You need to somehow make a massive
fucking statement. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I do not know what, but you got to do something big. Maybe, and maybe that's where I'm part of the problem. Like, where we say wrestling has, I think, a big problem. Yeah. Maybe I'm part of that problem.
Well, it only time will tell at this point, like, with what this payout's going to be. But I 100% agree with you. If there's not someone credible there, and it's just, like, six Joe Schmoes that come out, like, oh, well, like, for example, to throw on, like, an example for you, like, Sanity, they came out, they're wearing masks. The first two people to take off the mask, Sawyer Fulton, who's now Madman Fulton, and Alexander Wolf. Then you had Nikki Cross remove hers. At this point, there's three, and no disrespect to them except for Fulton, but you had three nobodies in the ring.
At that time, nobody really, I think.
No one?
Nobody probably within respect, like, respective, let's call it, indie area. You know, the respective, wherever they were traveling
like
before.
Most of those individuals, with the exception of Fulton, like, Alexander Wolf really wasn't relatively known in the U.S., just like Nikki Cross wasn't relatively known within the U.S. You had to watch promotions outside of the U.S. to really know who they were, and really didn't have a big following, all three of them. And then you have the big reveal of Eric Young, who isn't a big name, but you know who he is. Like, that I will give the benefit of the doubt, because he's always been this lunatic. And it's like, wow, these people are really fucking crazy because they're backed by Eric Young. If, like, it has to be that kind of reveal with this group. Otherwise, I don't, right now, I don't give a shit. But you come out and you cut a fantastic promo with that one main person backing you, and it's not just, oh, this is Raw Underground taking over. Like, this is how things are going to get run, and it's Shane McMahon. Cool, don't care. Like, yeah. It needs, like, to be something.
Like, yeah, with Retribution, needs to be something, needs to be that. Even, like, where you mentioned, even Raw Underground, like,
yeah,
there's got to be a point to this. Like, maybe
if there's not, it's still entertaining.
Maybe this is, but, like,
I'm enjoying Raw Underground.
I haven't, maybe I just haven't watched it enough yet. Is Shane, like, talking through the whole matches again?
Yeah.
That's one thing. Shane, fucking let it happen.
He does make it entertaining, though, because, like, it does give you that crowd aspect of it, and it gives you, like, that underground feel.
That Fight Club feel.
Exactly. Like, you have that one person that's, like, commentating and, like, talking through it, and he's talking shit, like, during it, too. Like, who's up next, like, type of shit. Like, whoever wants to get in there, get in there. Like, you go now. You go now.
But I also don't like...
It's very high energy.
It is, but I also don't like where some of the, you know, where it's, like... You have, like, the brand, like, you just have, you, they pull people up, and it's like, who the fuck's this guy?
But when they dominate, then you're giving them a name now, and that's the concept that I like about Raw Underground, is these people that relatively, like, Ray Rowe.
Yeah.
You know who Ray Rowe is. He's in Viking Raiders. But now you're showing him as a singles competitor. And there was a great moment at the end of the fight between Ray Rowe and Ziggler. it's Ivar. So Eric is Ray Rowe.
Yeah.
Ivar is who was previously Hansen.
Yeah.
There's a moment with Hansen at the end that is fucking hilarious. So just a little tidbit of information for you. Definitely check that out. But kind of moving on from there, because I'm sure we could rip this apart forever. We can go back and forth. But
can I please talk about how... Okay, going away from WWE.
Yes.
I don't know. Okay, where were you going to go?
I was going to go... Well, I'll touch on it right now, and then we'll go to yours. So, IWC feature presentation just revealed their card. And we are pretty close with our prediction, first and foremost. Every championship will be defended, which I love to see.
I have just one... maybe I don't want to pick it.
You are going to pick it.
I am.
What? Go for it.
I know it's a title match, but only one woman's match.
Yep. That's it.
I think that's like my only gripe with it.
Only one?
Yeah.
I agree. So,
you know, and I understand, you know, where I know, like, even a couple the other week where Raylan couldn't make their previous one.
Base brawl,
thank you. I don't know why the name was escaping me.
I have that happen all the time.
But she couldn't make that one.
Mm-hmm.
If I recall, there was another one pre. Oh, when they had to reschedule Back in Business.
Yep.
Jimmy Vegas couldn't make that.
Yep.
So I understand that, and maybe that's kind of what's going on.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't want to pick it. I really don't want to like
nitpick.
But yeah. I guess that was my only thing.
That was my only takeaway too.
But hey, what, 10 matches?
I think so. 9 or 10.
I think 10 matches.
Yeah, but you got the IWC High Stakes Championship.
But hey, at this point, let's make it fun. Let's flip the script and just make everyone defend everything.
Yeah, I agree.
That makes it fun.
I agree. And you got four title matches. You got RC Dupree taking on Chase Gold. You got,
you got Stake and X versus Big
League. No. I want to choose my words very wisely. I had commented on a post that was made regarding Stake and X versus Team Big League. They got deleted. And my main takeaway was...
Did they delete it?
I don't know who deleted it, but there was a comment from Elijah Dean, Mandime, and then I was immediately following. And I, unlike most people, I wasn't like trying to bury Elijah Dean or anything like that. I simply just said, this needs to be the main event. Undefeated versus undefeated. You got Steak and Eggs, who are 9-0. You got Team Big League, that's 5-0. This is a big story build-up, like, and no disrespect to every other championship, but granted, like, this is...
No, I can see that.
This has the potential to be the show stealer overall. Now, granted, there's other matches on the card that could easily steal the show.
When you have that's fun.
Yeah. I have three matches in mind right now that could easily steal the show. Oh, you want me to? Absolutely. Steak and Eggs versus Team Big League. Show stealer. IWC Super Indie Championship. Spencer Slade versus Johnny Patch.
That could
easily seal the show.
That could be the dark horse one of the event. Of being like
a fantastic match between, and I've only seen clips. Unfortunately the full match hasn't dropped, but with Imagine Bill Collier and Spencer Slade this past weekend,
yeah,
it is being deemed one of the best independent wrestling matches in recent history. Yeah, there are people that have gone to it continuously. Spencer, Bill Collier, every wrestler that was on the show too, every single person, that was the best match they've seen in a long time. And it's hard hitting, and both of them, they took a hell of a beating overall.
Yeah.
Congratulations going out to Bill Collier, but yeah. I think that the match between Johnny Patch and Spencer Slade has the potential to be that show stealer. But at the same point, I feel the same way about Steak and Eggs and Team Big League. If you ask me personally what I feel should be the main event, now, granted, there is Jimmy Vegas taking on Jack Pollock. We're big fans of both of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of history behind it. However, I'm still that person that I feel like Jock Sampson is due a rematch from Base Brawl. I feel like he is due his rematch. So no disrespect to Jack Pollock. Absolutely deserves it. Absolutely. Former champion deserves his rematch. 100% agree with that fact. He is entitled to his rematch. However, I still feel that at the same point, Jock Sampson deserves a rematch as well, just from everything that happened within that match. That's just me. But I feel that the third match that could potentially steal the show would be, well, it would be a toss-up, to be honest with you. I'm between, obviously, Jimmy Vegas and Jack Pollock, just from all the history that they have and everything that had gone down between the two of them, it does have the potential to steal the show. But I'm going to call out one that maybe some people aren't thinking of, and I'm going to go with the Fatal 4-Way match. You got Angelic versus Miles Monroe versus Vasad versus Anthony Young. I think that match has the potential to steal the show, especially with Flippin' Ain't Easy, and you have the different character in there with formerly known as Gory with Angelic, the two of those individuals and the things that they've done in their IWC career, I feel like that is going to be the dark horse as well, and I think that that match could also steal the show. That's where I'm kind of 50-50 on it. So those are my takes. Obviously, there's a lot of matches. Next week, we'll get into our preview of IWC feature presentation. But
dear God, that is only like 10 days.
I know, dude. I'm so excited. I'm finally going to go to a wrestling show. Yes.
Going to be able to keep it in your pants while we're there?
No. I'm going to take another sip of beer.
I'll join you.
It's still cold. But you wanted to make a comment, so I will. You wanted to bring something up.
I was going to go to AEW for a minute.
AEW. I haven't.
There's not a whole ton there to talk about, which to me is part of the problem.
Well, I just think that they need to put the title on Maxwell Jacob Friedman already.
Something tells me that's going to happen, but I
hope so. And want to know what I hope happens more than anything?
What?
I hope that they put the title on Maxwell Jacob Friedman
and then drops it to Wardlow.
Fuck yeah! Dude, totally.
Dude, there's a guy we should get a hold of.
I've reached out a couple times.
Oh man, is he?
Well, we communicate, but there's not a
not a free time or do we have new channels we have to go through?
No comment. No comment.
No shit.
Yep. No comment. We'll not disclose anything. No comment.
Okay then. But I think they need to. Especially
they need to heal.
I think,
because let's face it, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but Chris Jericho, he can be a heel all he wants, he'll still be loved.
Yeah.
You have Jon Moxley, loved, even if he has that heel mentality and that heel mindset.
He's that, where Steve Austin had the same thing. He was the heel that you could love.
Yeah, he was a rule breaker. He was just like breaking skulls. That's all it was. But you love him. Maxwell Jacob Friedman is hated, and he prefers it that way. And what sells in wrestling? Great fucking heels.
You need to make any good story work, you need a believable heel, and he is absolutely.
And you put a fucking mic in his hand, he will go.
And just think if he has that title, oh my God, it's gonna be 100 times worse.
I can't wait until and I hope it does happen. I hope that's what they're building towards the title.
I think they're obviously building to put it on MJF. But it is going to be interesting to see how that story goes.
I agree.
And how long are you going to stretch that? Because I think you are going to want to put it on Wardlow at some point. He is the stereotypical prototypical big guy wrestler that he could easily beat the shit out of, and it's going to be believable. And I think he could go either way, currently in said heel role, you know, he is a menace, you know, that menacing person. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you there will be a point that he could easily be that babyface.
I agree.
And obviously we saw that in IWC, he could do it.
But we also saw the heel in IWC too, and exactly. He could do that as well.
And he's doing it right now. Exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. I don't understand why they already redesigned the TNT title.
Love it more now, though.
Oh, it looks better.
Oh, it looks so much better now.
That's probably why. Yeah, it's just they realized it looked like shit.
But
what's funny is that is the newest title, and that's the first one that's already gotten a remake.
Yeah.
The women's title is still about the size of my hand.
Yeah.
That needs to be fixed. I've seen multiple people comment on it. That needs to be fixed.
I agree.
But my one point that I've been trying to get at, they need to get rid of Sammy Guevara.
I agree. Which we've said previously.
Which for said comments before, I think he should have. But now the fact that they obviously were supposed to plant a fucking chair for you to throw at Matt Hardy, and you can't even find the right fucking chair to throw at him, and you gash his head open.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Like, come on, dude. Like, and maybe that's just me, you know, being a nitpicking asshole.
Well, we're both nitpicking assholes.
But come on, man.
Yeah, so at this point, only time will tell, but I 100% agree with you. I was firmly behind they shouldn't have even brought him back anyway. That's just me. They got rid of Jimmy Havoc, thankfully. They should have did that beforehand, but and they released a few other individuals as well. So we wish them all the best, and not to some, But that's just our own personal beliefs. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week. We'll give our recap on Impact Wrestling, a huge, huge night this week. We're recording on Tuesday, and a huge night.
We've seen a couple of things.
Well, I think we'll save that congratulation for next week. We've already done it publicly across our social media platforms. Huge congratulations going out to him, but we'll touch on everything that happened at their pay-per-view event. Well, I guess you could say it's a specialty event, not on pay-per-view, but on regular television.
Emergence.
But that's going to do it for this week's episode. Be sure to head on over to whatamaneuver.net and pick up one of our shirts. A huge shout-out once again to Breezy Getem from the Eccentric Podcast. We truly appreciate you, and huge shout-out to you. You're getting a bunch of press. You're getting more likes than any post that I've made in the last month.
Man, people hate us, then.
They hate us. They love him.
Just keep talking about us, please.
Yes, please. You're getting us press really need.
I guess we're going to have to go. Hey, maybe we're going to go on his show to get people to listen to our show.
He gives us enough shout-outs for all of our...
No, see, that's what we're going to do.
All of our followers are like, fuck this guy. I'm going to his show.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to do a crossover just so we can get people to listen to our show.
Well, if you're not already following us, be sure to subscribe. That's a great idea. We need to do that. So I'm extending the invite right now. IWC feature presentation. I already know that our friends Jody and Cody are going to be there. I am extending an invitation right now. Let's do a crossover at the event. I'm putting it on you. I want to reply. So thank you so much. We will see you guys next week. And most importantly,
welcome to the Thunderdome.
You bitch.